Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from thedraftnetwork.com, along with Trevor Sikkema, also from thedraftnetwork.com, here on a Wednesday morning. It's an exciting day, Trevor. Later on today, we will have the Senior Bowl rosters revealed, or at least where they're at to this point, I guess, in the process, revealed over on a show over on Yahoo, I believe. That is going to be really cool. I'm looking forward to it. We'll have a ton to talk about. Tomorrow's podcast is going to be, we might have to bump our predictions to Friday or something, because there might be a lot to talk about coming off of the show that we need to cover. So it's going to be fun. I'm very much looking forward to the show later today and to see some of those names revealed. But we already have a lot of names revealed, man. Like, The underclassmen list is, what is it, 16 now, I think?
I haven't counted, but
6? 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20.
Wow, you were way off.
I wasn't even close.
You were way off.
We had a ton yesterday, that's why. We had a ton yesterday. Just yesterday, Jazz Ferguson, the wide receiver from Northwestern State, who is Jalen Ferguson.
Great, great first name.
Terrific, yeah. First round first name for sure.
Jazz.
Yep, brother of Jalen Ferguson, the better known Ferguson brother, who is also in this draft class from Louisiana Tech.
Not anymore. Sorry. Jazz. Yeah. You got a kid named Jazz.
Yeah. Change it up, Jalen. Normally I'd say I like the name Jalen, but in this situation, man, you got a long way to go. Close that gap.
Isn't there a wide receiver that played for, or still plays for, Wisconsin? Jazz, like Peavy or something?
Yeah. I think he's still
there. Did he play for Wisconsin, or does he not play for Wisconsin?
I feel like he's still there, but I could be totally
wrong. Google what Jazz Peavy's up to.
I tell our boy Owen Reese this. I proudly choose not to watch any Wisconsin games during the season. When I have to at the end of the year, I'll scout the specific guys I need to scout, but I really try not to watch Wisconsin at all because I like good football. I'm just sorry. I like good, modern, fun football. You know what I mean? Are you understanding what I'm saying?
All right. His last stats are from 2017.
Okay. So he's not there anymore.
So I assume that he is no longer with the organization. Yes, 2017 was his senior year.
Well, pour one out for Jazz Peavy. But Jazz Ferguson is declaring as a redshirt junior.
Every year there's a new Jazz, right?
Also a three-name guy, Anthony Ratliff Williams.
My man.
Yeah, we both kind of like Anthony Ratliff Williams.
Whoa.
This got really weird. Is there something?
You pooped on me in the summer when I had Ratliff Williams in my like top five wide receivers.
Yeah, he was in your top five wide receivers.
Out of like the six wide receivers that I had seen.
Oh, my. We did top tens at wide receivers, so that was your own fault.
And you got on me about having Ratliff Williams on there.
Where is Ratliff Williams right now in your wide receiver rankings? Not in your top five.
Higher than he is yours.
I don't even know if that's actually true. I'm going to look it up while you're talking. But he's definitely not in your top five. So who was right this summer? Spot on.
Of the names that I was shown.
You wanted him to be your son.
He was top five.
No, that's not true. That's... you lying.
You actually got to go back and listen to that. I want to see who I had over him.
You had N'Keal Harry high. I think you had N'Keal Harry over him. You had... you also had Metcalf Kelvin high.
Kelvin had to be my one, right?
You still have not... Yeah, Kelvin was up there for you, too. You still have not adjusted the board as it should be and put Riley Ridley in your top two wide receivers. Also, as of November 8th, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside
was not in my top two wide receivers.
Who? Riley Ridley?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a mistake. That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
Yeah, like you need to do that.
What if it's not a mistake?
Watch him and you tell me if it's a mistake.
I've watched him.
He's better than the four guys you have above him. I'm telling you, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, better than him.
No.
Better than Hakeem Butler. Better than Kelvin Harmon. Better than Colin Johnson.
Okay, he might be better than those other dudes.
I'm just telling
but
you.
But he's not better than Jared.
Also, you got to put Metcalf in there because he's in the class now. He'll be your number one. So Ridley would be your six right now. Man, guess where Anthony Ratliff Williams is in your top 10?
Where?
He's not in it, brother. And DK Metcalf's not even on your list, so he wouldn't be in your top 11 right now.
What do you want from me?
Oh, he was hurt. Who, Metcalf?
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about Ratliff Williams. Ratliff Williams is not in your top 11.
Oh. Yeah, but he was.
Guess you're not. Yeah, it was. A lot of things happened in the past, Trevor. We live in the present, my friend. And in the present, he's not in your top 10. He's not in mine either, but we still like him.
He's higher in my not top 10 than he is in yours, so.
No, he's 11 for me, and he's not in your top 11.
Well, he's 10 and a half for me, so suck it.
Oh, 10 and a half. That's my mistake. I didn't realize we were doing half. So he's only worth half a ranking to you. That's interesting.
Okay, so we'll actually talk about Ratliff Williams now, now that we've bantered for like 6 minutes. He's a really interesting case. At least he certainly was when I scouted him out during the summer and in the early parts of the year, because he was like, UNC's not good. Mm-hmm. So he was literally it for UNC. There were
actually
a couple plays when I was looking at his 2017 stuff where like they do wide receiver reverses and like he would throw the ball and like he would throw it better than their quarterback did. So he's just truly been UNC's everything. So I have to still go over most of his 2018 tape. I haven't seen most of it and see kind of what's there with him. But I really liked him just because I thought that, you know, he was really all Carolina had. And he, I thought, was a better athlete than a lot of the competition that he went up against. I thought his size was good. I thought his speed was good. But certainly there's an element of what do you do with this guy, because he plays in such an unorthodox emphasis in an offense.
Bad.
So, you know, like, what do you do? They're just basically trying to get this guy the ball any chance you can. Mm-hmm. And the interesting part about playing wide receiver is you can't throw the ball to yourself. Yeah. So you need somebody to actually do it for you. And so he's a really interesting case. Like, I'm interested to go back to his 2018 tape early on.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. He's fun. I'm just excited to see how he tests. I need to see more tape. I didn't see any of them this year because, I mean, obviously I wasn't watching any UNC games. Man. What's that?
He'll test well.
I think so. I think he'll test well enough. You know, I wonder, you know, how fast is he? I think he's got some hops to him. You know, he does a lot of different things. He carried the ball 11 times for them this year on the ground. So, you know, his stats aren't going to blow anybody away. You know, he got a little over 600 yards last two years, but he's averaging, you know, two years ago was 18 yards a catch, 16 yards a catch this season. You know, only two touchdowns this year, six a year ago, but it just what he can do in an offense that doesn't offer much for him, you know, and being able to evaluate him outside of that, I think is going to be fun. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he does. Right now, I think he's in that mid-round area for me based on what I saw last year, but I have to watch this year's tape, and obviously his combine numbers will be meaningful as well. So excited about that. Who else? AJ Brown is in this class.
Mm-hmm.
Ole Miss wide receiver. He's mad at me on Twitter, by the way. I don't know if you saw that.
Would you call him wide receiver 6, wide receiver 7?
Seven, yeah. Still a high grade for me in this class, man. You're probably still in the top 50, so chill your beans. But
yeah,
he was mad in an article I wrote that actually was the main topic of the article was DeMarcus Lodge is a better wide receiver prospect than A.J. Brown, so I wondered if that were awkward for them.
Well, that's probably why he doesn't like it.
Yeah, because Lodge is probably like blowing up the article like, man, this guy knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, I always remember that with teammates. No, but A.J. Brown like was the – I mean, we went through it in the scouting when we were doing this summer. Like, he was crowned king, like, immediately. And
you were not about it at all, even the summer. I mean, and
like, again, I think A.J. Brown's nice.
He's okay.
But,
yeah, he's solid.
Like, it's a stacked wide receiver class, man. You got some wide receivers that are just, like, doing alien stuff out here. So, A.J. Brown's a nice wide receiver, but there's going to be so many other guys that have, like, higher ceilings that you could bet home runs on that a lot of times you're just going to have over this guy. I'm sure I'll have, you know, three or four at least, like, even just, like, high-risk guys. And that's not even counting, you know, DK Metcalf or J.J. Arcega-Whiteside or Kelvin Harmon that I'm probably going to have over A.J. Brown just because of the ceiling factor.
Yeah,
that's kind of my thoughts. I didn't really get it. And it's kind of the same thing with high school recruiting, you know, like, who's a good example? Martez Ivy. I'll just take Martez Ivy for an example.
Oh my gosh.
Ivy was a 5-star offensive lineman coming out when he went to Florida, and people just continued to keep that label on him throughout his entire college career just because some nerd watching a high school football game who has to judge like 900 high school kids, more than three-fourths of which will not even play college football, decided that he was a five-star, and that's kind of like carried with him. We're dragging Martez Ivy. I'm sure he's a nice dude. I don't know. But like that was kind of the same thing with A.J. Brown. It's like A.J. Brown went into the summer scouting this year, and it was like, oh, yeah, A.J. Brown's a first-round pick in those like initial like way too early mock draft things that happen. And you've got to – like if you watch those way too early mock drafts, you have to keep up with it. Like you have to start watching other people because who was it? Wasn't it Albert Breer who just said this week who was like, mm-hmm. yep, like there's wide receiver one, A.J. Brown. I'm like, brother.
Bud, you're a couple years back. Come like with us.
Like he's living in 8 months ago. And I guess like if you don't pay attention to anything, I don't blame him. Mm-hmm. But there's enough people talking up A.J. Brown to where I really right. think, does the NFL really think that A.J. Brown's wide receiver one?
Nah.
Because a lot of these big media guys, though, John, you got to realize that you eventually, when you get into the spotlight of doing draft coverage as a broadcast national analyst, your life is so busy with traveling and shows and appearances and on-camera stuff that, like, these dudes don't – like, a lot of these guys don't watch tape. They really don't.
Oh, yeah.
So,
most of them don't.
So the only thing that they get their information from is people in the league.
I agree with that, but I think they also go to either local scouts or they go off of old opinions they were told in the past. Like, over the summer, he was probably told
that. You're right. That could be the – but I always wonder, like, in these little cases, is the NFL, like legit saying that A.J. Brown's number one? Or is he just kind of, like, going off a take that he heard in the summer?
He better run great. Because they're not taking a guy who played only in the slot, didn't face press coverage, and then when he was outside this year against press coverage, struggled a lot more. They're not taking a guy like that who tests at a middling level. I mean, not with some of his routes and some of the
inconsistencies on tape. I think A.J. Brown's a really good receiver, but like how higher of a priority are you making A.J. Brown than like Deebo Samuel?
My big question is like what is A.J. Brown do that's special? Like what is, you know, is it after the catch? Yeah. I mean, he does some good things. Like,
I mean, he's a good wide receiver. I think he's a good wide receiver. But like sure. I said, there's going to be three or four guys that you could bet on their high ceiling, whether it is their size, their athleticism, in some sort of intangible over Brown's, just because Brown has a really good all-around game.
Yeah,
but
I mean, it's solid. I think. Yeah,
I feel like a lot of wide receivers have all-around game. Like I think Van Jefferson has a good all-around game. You know, like
he does. True.
I don't know, and maybe this is on us a little bit, but if you don't really excel, or, you know, like as Matt Harmon would say, like if you don't have a trump card, even if you're great at kind of, even if you're kind of like good at everything, right. maybe above average at everything, if you don't have a trump card.
That's my thing. Like not as you know? He's not have a trump card. He has like actual weaknesses too, and he definitely has strengths, but like what's his go-to trait, you know? Like is he a great route runner? No. Is he great in contested catch spots? No. And not only that, he doesn't even have the many opportunities for him because he's running middle zones all the time. You know, that's what he's doing. I read an interview that he had with our boy Justin Mello over at the Draft Wire, and he said in the interview they have a route for him that they run all the time that's just like a free route. Like he just goes to space. I'm like, that's awesome, but like in the NFL, that just doesn't like – you're not going to get that all the time, man. Like, so it's just going to be a totally different beast. You're going to get man coverage in the slot, man. Like, you're going to be on the outside, you know? You're a big dude. Like, team's going to draft you, and they're going to want to play you on the outside. Like, you're not going to get that. So can you separate still, you know? And I think there's a lot that he does that's unconventional. DK Metcalf obviously declared too, and DeMarcus Lodge is in this class, and it's been rumored Dawson Knox will declare. We'll see. So we could be talking about all the Ole Miss guys. But, dude, I have to tell you, there is no more frustrating offense to watch than Ole Miss. I mean, they wasted unbelievable talent for years now with ridiculous scheme. I mean, the Ole Miss offense is so simple. I honestly think if you had corners that know anything about what they're doing, you're going to be able to slow them down. And honestly, or were athletes, because these receivers, when they made plays, they were literally just straight up better and more athletic. That's when they made plays. Because it is so, I mean, all they do, I watched DK Metcalf against LSU. He's on the numbers on the left side every single time. They don't move him around. They don't do anything. Look at DK Metcalf. He's like 6'3", 225, jacked out of his mind. Like, do something with him. Like, all they did is run him on vertical routes with an outside release on the numbers on the left side every single play. And he did a comeback or a curl or a 5-yard hitch, or he ran vertically. And that was it. Mm-hmm. He had two in-breaking releases the entire game. Like, it was so easy for Greedy Williams. Everybody's like, Greedy Williams took DK Metcalf out of the game. Sure, but really DK Metcalf's stupid coaches put him out of the game, to be honest, because all he did was the same thing, and Greedy just opened to the sideline and ran with him. That's all you have to do. So it was just, they limited their effectiveness because their route tree was so predictable, especially on the outside for Lodge and for Metcalf. Brown had a little bit more freedom, but again, lots of times he's just bubbling, running to space, catching a ball, taking 10 yards of open space, running about. Like, it's just, you know, a lot of stuff like that until Metcalf got hurt, and then he moved outside more, and there's been a little more help for his evaluation, I think, in that process. But just a bad offensive scheme. No man beaters at all. LSU ran man the whole time and just pretty much locked it down. No man beaters. If you have a team that can play, has athletes that can run with your guys, that's it. Ole Miss offense is done. When they played LSU, they're cooked. When they played Alabama, other than DK Metcalf, they were done. I mean, that's the offense. So when you evaluate these guys, for anybody who's out there listening, when you evaluate these guys and you say, man, DK Metcalf just, like, he's not getting any separation on Greedy Williams, it's because Greedy Williams knew what route he was going to run every single time. And if you watch, Greedy gave up all the underneath routes. He gave up the curls. He gave up the hitches. He even gave up a couple comebacks. He didn't care. He was just getting vertical and running with him. And if he made anything underneath, that was fine. But all he just wanted to do was get, he didn't want to get beat deep, which was probably the right strategy because he was just going to run the same route every single play. And so he was just ready for it. He opened. He was running ahead of DK Metcalf the whole time because it was so predictable. In the NFL, they're going to have him run all kinds of different routes. Hopefully he can adjust and he can learn those. I think he has all the tools, though, man. Some of his releases are amazing. I just think he's going to be super dynamic. And I wonder if Brown can offer that same level of you know, I don't see the same special qualities, I guess, in Brown's game when I project him to a bigger role in the NFL, because there is that projection with all these guys. So that's my rant on the Ole Miss offense. There's just a lot of context needed when you're evaluating these guys. You watch Calvin Harmon. Before I ask you everything that you saw with Calvin Harmon, we got to give a shout out to our friends over at Action Heat. They're sponsoring this episode. Action Heat makes the world's best battery-heated clothing. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat. Action Heat is perfect for any friend or family in your holiday gift list. Great for anyone who works outdoors, skiers, snowboarders, or anybody that loves the outdoors or hates being cold. We all know those people. Action Heat clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body, including heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat, and it's available in men's and women's, and has great new styles and models just released for this winter season. Also, we've got a special deal for our listeners to save 20% off your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/lockedon, or use the coupon code LOCKEDON at the checkout to save 20%. Locked On is the coupon code. Stay toasty and warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. All right, you watch Calvin Harmon. I think he is a very interesting evaluation that I've already seen a good bit of, but I can't wait to watch even more and finish his evaluation now that he's officially declared. What did you see?
I like Calvin Harmon. I really do.
You're a sucker for big-bodied receivers. Everyone,
yeah, but I mean, like, he is, so like, he's a true outside wide receiver. He's not super big, but he is big enough. He's not super fast, but he is fast enough. I think that Calvin Harmon is a low end wide receiver one, high end wide receiver two in the NFL. And like, if you had an offense where you could get Calvin Harmon as your wide receiver two, like, you've got a really good wide receiver core, I think. he is a guy who's really interesting because I think he's got an alpha mentality when the ball's coming in and he's catching through contact and he's catching through traffic. I really do think that he has that kind of mentality. And he also brings it to blocking too. I thought he could be better with his hand placement with blocking, but like his mentality to always get the better of his assignments via blocks. I mean, there are a couple ones. So Bryce Hall, the cornerback for Virginia, which you and Joe Marino, I know, like a lot, right?
Yes. Yeah. He's good.
I'm coming around to him because I'm just seeing more and more tape on him. Like early in the game, Bryce Hall kind of was like, hey, I'm not going to be a pushover on Kelvin Harmon. Like, I get that all the hype is about this guy. Like, he's the ACC's like best receiver, whatever. I don't care. I'm locking him down. And he did a little bit on the first couple of plays. He even had like a crazy interception attempt. I don't even know if it was an actual interception, but it was a crazy attempt by Hall. But then like later in the game, they're kind of tussling and everything. And Harmon just like gets an attitude and just like locked him down on a play to where Hall almost like had it like a hissy fit on the field. He was just so mad that he got blocked for like 5 straight seconds and couldn't get off of it on Harmon. And so I saw that throughout the 3 or 4 games that I really looked at him. He doesn't separate super well, but the weird part about it is like I've watched him catch deep passes. Like there's a couple of post pattern like touchdowns and deep balls that he catches in the games that I watched, and like the second he catches it, he's got some acceleration, he's got some top speed, like he can get there, he's got good speed. But when it comes to like little super short area separation, he just doesn't do it very often.
Right.
However, it's a weird eval because he almost always comes up with a catch, I thought. So, like, I'm over here watching his tape, and I'm thinking, okay, well, I've got to somewhat dock this guy for not really being a great separator, because one of the most easily translatable traits to the NFL is if you have a knack for separating whatever assignment it is, you'll be able to find open space, you can get your quarterback a window, you can become a viable wide receiver. So separation and knowing how to separate is really big in the NFL, however you do it, whether it's with your feet or subtle with physicality, or maybe like.
So is the Alshon Jeffrey comp, is that a good one for him?
Yeah, I don't hate it. Alshon's bigger though, right? Wasn't he bigger?
I don't know. What's Harmon?
He's like 6'3", 215, 220.
That's pretty big.
Maybe Alshon. No, the Alshon comp is pretty decent. It really is, because these are two guys who constantly catch through contact because they can't separate, but they just, it almost happens so much that I have a hard time even docking him for it. It's almost like it's just like his style.
Like automatic, point. So Harmon's interesting because I don't think he high points enough, but I don't even know if I would say it's a problem. Harmon, by the way, is 6'3", 213. He's listed at right now.
Okay.
And Alshon Jeffrey, 6'2 and 7/8 and 216. So very, very similar in size.
There you go. Okay.
Alshon ran a 4.48. Important to remember. People forget that. He jumped 36 and a half, which is pretty good. He also had a 6.713 cone, which has to be somebody messed with those numbers. Did he wear a jetpack? I don't know. I have no idea what happened. I just can't. Alshon running a 6.71 seems really, really good to me, right? Like, that's an unbelievable three cone.
So, yeah, it's good for what I would say Jeffrey would get.
So I would say that if that comp wants to hold true, Harmon has to test real pretty well, I think, because not that I hate to, you know me, I'm just kind of always looking at both sides of it, right? Like, I'm always looking at both sides.
No, you're a hater. It's fine.
And I look at Harmon, I say, like, okay, well, this guy's a big guy. Like, he uses his body so well to box out, but, like, can he high point? Like, can he go up and get the ball above the rim? Like, and I know he can. There's a couple instances where he does. But I think, you know, with a guy like that, you got to jump well. Like, you got to, you know, that I think you got to be a nuanced route runner. And I have seen some of that from him, and I like that from him. And, I mean, Harmon's, like, in my top 5 wide receivers right now. So, like, I like Harmon. I just don't know how much I like him yet. Like, I don't know if he'll have a first-round grade for me or not. So,
but that's the thing. Like, I think Harmon is a guy who you pick in the second round.
Okay.
And he's a low-end one, high-end two.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on board with that. I'm very on board
and
with that.
And, again, like I said, if you're building a wide receiver core and you've got Harmon as your wide receiver two, and you got, like, a, I don't know, just like a higher ceiling guy on the other side, whoever it might be, like, that's a really good pairing.
Yeah. I like the whole build your wide receiver core like a basketball team, too. I don't know if you heard that. I don't know who started that, but you know, have your like point guard or, you know, the guy that's a possession guy, maybe slot guy or something like that, who does the little things well, smart, heady player, and, you know, have your power forward type, which would obviously be the Harmon type of guy, you know, have your shooting guard, your small forward, whatever, you know, your flashier player that can make things happen after the catch, get vertical, you know, maybe sometimes those traits mix and match, whatever it might be. But, you know, I think that that's your home run guy, your splash play guy. You know, I think you got to have a mix of that. And to me, Harmon's very much that power forward type. And if he has pieces to complement him in your offense and the other types, then I think he can be successful. Or some guys can fill multiple roles, you know, the best wide receivers in the league. I think it's just about finding that right fit maybe for a guy like that. He might not be as dynamic, I guess is the right word, as some other guys. So
right. Dynamic is not what I would call Kelvin Harmon, but I wouldn't say that that limits me to thinking that he is not a good wide receiver.
Right.
I think Agreed. That he is. I think he's a really good wide receiver.
Agreed. A bunch of guys declared, but one more I would definitely want to touch on before we wrap up. Jarrett Stidham. He did it. Came out as a redshirt junior. There was really no doubt in my mind. He's all, I think he's
really glad. Really glad that he came out, so I don't have to talk about him next year.
I am too. Yeah, imagine having to do that for 2 years. Oh my gosh, that'd be horrible. And next year, people would have cared even less about him than they already do, which is saying something. Because I feel like we've kind of moved on from Jarrett Stidham. Like, you know, Ben Albright, I think, tweeted out today, like, if he declares he's probably not even going to be a day two pick. And I was like, holy crap, like. We'll see, but, you know, I mean, I agree with him. No chance he's a round one pick. I think that totally died out. I just don't – I think probably the way he played this season – yeah, right. That's exactly right. I mean, point to an impressive game from Stidham. This may be a little bit against Washington beginning of the year.
Alabama but, last year, that's it.
Yeah, even then. Yeah, I agree. I'll agree with that. But Alabama this year was so bad that
– right.
Yeah, he just – he hasn't done anything. And people are like, oh, that offense doesn't help him. And I agree with that. But when they open things up and try to be more explosive and let him move the ball down the field a little bit more,
yeah,
he
was at his
absolute
like,
worst.
He doesn't – I wouldn't say that the offense limits Stidham because, like, he came to Auburn because it was almost – I don't want to say the perfect fit, but
– it would like, hide his weaknesses.
Malzahn's offense works better when he has either a dominant quarterback or a dominant running back. Stidham, they tried to do the dominant quarterback thing with Stidham, and he couldn't do it. So, like, that's why Auburn's offense looked so abysmal all year, because he can't do it.
Right. Yeah, they're happy he's moving on, I think, to be honest. So, lots of – I mean, a couple of Oklahoma State guys, Jordan Browford, Justice Hill, Noah Fant in the class already. I think we have a couple Central Michigan DBs, Sean Bunting and Xavier Crawford, which we're going to have to get a look at those guys. No idea what's going on there. We got to look at our boy
DBU,
Jazz
baby.
Coming up, yeah, I guess so. So we've got a lot of prospects that we'll continue to talk about. I think tomorrow or today we're going to hear more underclassmen declarations as well. So a real exciting time of the year, and I think we're going to see more and more of it, and we're excited to keep unpacking all those votes for you. Obviously, we're going to have a lot to talk about tomorrow. Got our NFL predictions coming up as well this week, and, of course, a super show with the Draft Dudes this weekend too. So until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.